the Public News Service Daily Newscast for January the 9th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. As the homeless crisis in California grows more acute, our colleagues at NPR report Governor Gavin Newsom is planning to ask lawmakers for $1.4 billion to pay monthly rents, to build more shelters, and to provide treatment to those struggling finding long-term housing. NPR adds that Newsom signed an executive order directing agencies to locate public properties near state roads and highways that can short-term emergency shelters. The order additionally calls for using 100 camping trailers for temporary housing. New data is providing new hope in the fight against cancer. More on that story from Mary Sherman.
An annual report from the American Cancer Society reveals the cancer death rate fell 2.2% between 2016 and 2017, the largest ever single-year decline. Cancer mortality rates have decreased 29% since 1991, resulting in roughly 2.9 million fewer cancer deaths in the U.S. April Zubek with the American Cancer Society in Missouri says progress is encouraging and empowering.
I hope people continue to believe in the progress that we're making and find a way to be a part of it by encouraging people you love to get the screenings that they need. And living healthy lifestyles are something that every single person can do.
The report cites reduced mortality for melanoma and lung cancer as a driver of the overall drop in cancer mortality rates. Zubek adds advances in cancer research and treatment options are also behind the decline, as well as advocacy efforts to improve access to health care.
Roughly 600,000 Americans are expected to die from cancer in 2020. That includes about 13,000 people in the state of Missouri. And as Congress nears approval of a new deal to replace the North American Free Trade Agreement, Eric Tegetthoff has been talking with farmers and ranchers who are disappointed at the lack of country of origin labeling in the bill.
Also known as COOL, supporters say a loophole allows foreign importers to put product of the U.S. on their beef, even if it is minimally processed in the country, hurting domestic cattle ranchers. Shelley Zisch, a cattle ranch owner in Pettibone, North Dakota, says under the current law, packers can do something as simple as adding salt or grinding the beef within the United States to qualify as a U.S. product.
It's something we've been fighting for, the product of the U.S. label, and now they're kind of making a mockery of it because they can put whatever they want in it. And we believe that product of the U.S. should be only products that are born, raised, and harvested in the United States.
Opponents of such labeling say it's too costly for packers. The United States-Mexico-Canada agreement is expected to pass Congress as early as this week.
While UMSCA may have been the best vehicle for passing COOL, advocates say the issue is too important to just give up the fight. This is PNS. One of the first bills introduced in the West Virginia 2020 legislative session, which opened yesterday, is by Republican House Speaker Roger Hanshaw, to create a state investment fund to kickstart new businesses. Diane Bernard reports there's more to the story.
But environmental groups in the state oppose the bill because the fund's first project would be a giant underground natural gas storage plant called the Appalachian Storage Hub, according to Jim Coatson with the West Virginia Sierra Club. He says the hub would store and transport natural gas liquids produced from fracking, such as ethane, which is used in making plastics.
This would dramatically expand the use of fossil fuels and in particular natural gas drilling in West Virginia, and we need to be reducing our dependence on fossil fuels, not increasing it.
The Appalachian Storage Hub has support from the state's congressional delegations and Governor Jim Justice, who says it will bring much-needed jobs to the depressed Ohio Valley region and could turn West Virginia into a national economic center for the natural gas and plastics industries.
A 2019 study by Harvard University School of Public Health showed that more people in the nation live much closer to underground natural gas storage wells than was previously thought, and that accidents at those facilities have caused fatalities, explosions, and exposures to noxious odors. Finally, our Mark Mullen reports many pro sports teams are taking a more analytical approach in how they manage their organizations.
The same thing is happening in the world of government, including at the Minnesota Capitol. In 2015, state government leaders signed up for the Results First Initiative, which is spearheaded by Pew Charitable Trusts and the MacArthur Foundation. The program helps state and local policymakers use a deeper cost-benefit analysis when deciding how to spend a taxpayer dollars. Program Director Sarah Dubay says among all the states that have signed up so far, Minnesota has been among the most active with this approach.
They have taken stock of the programs that the state is offering across a variety of social policy areas, assessed the extent of research that's available on the effectiveness of those programs, how much those programs are costing the state.
Minnesota officials say they leaned more on using these evidence-based proposals in the latest budget cycle. Dubay says Minnesota's approach is more effective because both major political parties have backed this style of policymaking, taking the partisanship out of it. So far, 27 states and 10 county governments in the U.S. have taken part in the initiative.
Minnesota's Management and Budget Office says they hope to use this approach with state agencies and local partners in the future. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and we are listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.